Much for that special this morning. All right, we're back in Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 16, but the junior church can be dismissed at this time. Junior church, workers, children, be dismissed. First Samuel chapter 16. I was able to go over and see the Gales yesterday. And I was really excited. The kids are all excited, and grandparents are there. Her brother was there, Abigail's just a little cutie. I guess they all look alike. They said if you were to line them all their baby pictures up, they all look the same. I said, well, that's not the case for our two children. They're totally different as far as the way they looked when they were born, and actually different too. But anyway, so we're gonna be looking at the life of David. I'm going to try to put together a series on the life of David from here, the chance I get to preach. I'm going to be preaching through the life of David. It was made a big impact on me when I was sitting in the pews in my church in Pittsburgh, and my pastor was preaching through the life of David, and I just, it really made a huge impact on my life, and I thought, it would be good for me to revitalize that in my own life and then also preach it to you guys as well. So that's where we're going to be. But before I get started, let's open with a word of prayer. Dear Father, Lord, we're so blessed to be in your house today. I thank you for the safety you gave us coming here today with the slippery roads. And Lord, I just thank you for this church. I thank you for their heart. And Lord, I thank you for just the fact that we can meet together as a church and worship you this morning, and we can sing praises to our God, and we can now open the word and we can apply it to our lives. Lord, I pray that this morning as I bring your word forth, Lord, I pray that you would help me to say the things you want me to say and not the things you wouldn't want me to say. And Lord, I just pray that you would just use this message in my life as you already have, and continue to speak to me and also speak through me to your people here this morning. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So in order to properly start the life of David, we have to get some background. Okay, we need some background. We started here at chapter 16, but a lot happened prior to this chapter 16. So in the previous chapters of 1 Samuel, the people of Israel wanted a king. Right? They wanted a king. Prior to that, they had judges. And the judges were, they were the ones that were governing the people, and God was their king, okay? But they looked around and they compared themselves among the other nations, and they thought, we want to have a king like the other nations. And the Bible speaks about comparing ourselves, right? We're not to compare ourselves among ourselves. It is unwise. And they were being very unwise here. So they looked at Samuel, who was the judge. They looked at him, the judge, prophet, and they said, they told him basically this. And if you go back to 1 Samuel chapter 8, this is what the children of Israel told Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 8 and verse 5. Let's back up to verse 1. And it came to pass, when Samuel was old, that he made his sons judges over Israel. Now the name of his firstborn was Joel, and the name of his second, Abiah. They were judges in Beersheba. And his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre, and took bribes and perverted judgment. Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel unto Ramah. And this is what they said in verse 5 about Samuel. They said, and said unto Samuel, behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. So they said three things of Samuel. Samuel, you're old. You're old. All right, you're not getting any younger, Samuel. What are we going to do here? And then they go on to say that your kids are no good. The kids are no good. We don't want your kids being judges over us. And they were no good. I mean, it says right there that they took bribes, and they turned aside after lucre. They were all about money and bribing. And they also said, it also said that in verse 5 that they wanted a king like the other nations. So they said to Samuel, you're old, your kids are no good, they're terrible kids, and we want a king like the other nations. So guess what? God gave them what they asked for, right? God gave them what they asked for. And sometimes We need to be careful what we ask for.
Amen.
Right? Sometimes the worst judgment God can give us is to give us what we want.
Amen.
You hear that? Sometimes the worst judgment God could give us is to give us what we want. Amen. Think about that for a moment. Just think about that. If God gave you everything that you wanted, your life would be a mess.
Amen.
God gives us what we need,
Amen.
Not what we want. All right. He does give us sometimes what we want, but he doesn't always give us what we want. That would be not a good thing for us. So God gave them their king, and it turned out their king was, their first king that they God gave them was King Saul. And we're not going to take a lot of time this morning to dive into the King Saul, because that's a whole other sermon series in and of itself, which we're not going to get into. But to say the least, to sum it up like this, Saul was a failure as king. Okay, he was a failure. He struggled with pride. He struggled with fear. He struggled with lack of discernment. He was basically all about self-preservation. Okay, he was a failure as king. So in chapter 15, God forsook King Saul. He forsook him. And he forsook King Saul, not necessarily because of his disobedience, but because of his lack of repentance after his disobedience. All right? So he forsook Saul. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, 10 through 11, it says, "Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, It repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me, and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved. It grieved Samuel. And he cried unto the Lord all night."
Amen.
So Samuel was grieving over Saul. He was mourning. He was crying all night over Saul, like one who mourns over a lost one. And I believe that Samuel had a love for Saul.
Amen.
I do. I think he did. He was the first king, and maybe Samuel came alongside him over the years and helped groom him, helped train him, helped work with Saul. And so he became close with Saul. And now Saul is losing his kingdom. He and he's sorrowful over his fallen state. You know, here we have it. King Saul is about to lose his kingdom, and Samuel is grieving. This brings us to this chapter, chapter 16. This brings us to chapter 16. If someone could get me a glass of water, a bottle of water, or something, that would be wonderful. My mouth is getting really dry up here for some reason this morning. A little bit about David before we dive into chapter 16. Did you know that David is mentioned in the New Testament more than any other Old Testament character? I didn't know that until I was studying this out. David is mentioned in the New Testament more than any other Old Testament character. Also, more has been written about David in the Scripture than any other character other than Jesus Christ, of course. Why? Why? We'll find out why here in a second. 14 chapters were dedicated to Abraham. 14 chapters were dedicated to Joseph. 11 chapters were dedicated to Jacob. 10 chapters dedicated to Elijah. But 66 chapters are dedicated to David. And that does not include the 59 references about him in the New Testament. So why is David mentioned so often in Scripture? Because back in 1 Samuel chapter 13 and verse 14, if you go back there, God is looking for a man after his own heart. Okay, 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 14, it says, "But now," Samuel is talking to Saul here and telling him what's going to happen, "but now thy kingdom shall not continue, Saul. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord hath commanded thee." So basically, why is David mentioned so much in the Bible? Because he was a man after God's own heart. He's a man after God's own heart. And that's the thrust of the message here this morning, that is that we need to be people with hearts for God.
Amen.
Just like David. God cares more about the heart than anything else.
Amen.
He really does. If you are a person with a heart for God, then you are a person that can be used by God.
Amen.
You're a person that can be used by God. So let's dive into this passage, verse 1, and see what we can glean. Verse 1 says, "And the Lord said unto Samuel, How long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil and go. I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. Hold on a second, let me get a drink of water.
Thanks, sir.
So, how long are you going to grieve, Saul? That's what he's saying here. How long are you going to grieve? Or, I'm sorry, Samuel, how long are you going to grieve? It's time to get over it. It's time to move on. Okay? Ecclesiastes chapter 3, of course, it's talking about there's a time and a season for everything, right? There's a time to weep. There's a time to laugh. There's a time to mourn, a time to dance. And God's basically saying to Samuel here, your time to mourn is over, Samuel. Get over it. Move on. It's now time to continue on with my plan. It's time. God is saying to Samuel, get up, get your horn, fill it with oil, and go to Bethlehem because I have another man that I want you to anoint as the next king. A man, not just any man, but a man with a heart for God. Okay? When I was reading this passage, it sort of jumped out at me that perhaps Samuel felt some guilt. Perhaps he felt guilt or failure that King Saul didn't work out. I mean, I believe that, again, he was working with Saul. Helped train Saul in leadership and taking over the mantle as being king of Israel. And it didn't work out for Samuel, right? It didn't work out. Saul was a failure, and perhaps he took some of that on his shoulders and thought, man, it's my fault. He didn't work out because I didn't train him right, or he didn't work out because, and all these excuses are coming into his mind. Lesson number one I want you to learn this morning is no matter what failures come our way, we need to get back up because God has a job for us to do. No matter what failures come our way, we need to get back up because God has a job for us to do. God is saying to Samuel, Samuel, get up. Quit mourning. The time for mourning is over. I have a job for you to do. Go do what I'm telling you to do. Remember, if it weren't for failures in our lives, we wouldn't be who we are today. I wouldn't be who I am today if it wasn't for the failures that I had made in my life. Same could be said of you. Winston Churchill said this, success is not final, failure is not fatal, it's the courage to continue that counts. Yes. It's the courage to continue that counts. So let's keep going to verse 2. And Samuel said, how can I go? How can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me. He was scared. And the Lord said, take an heifer with thee, and say, I am come to sacrifice to the Lord. So Samuel, I see two things, Samuel's fear and God's guidance. Samuel was afraid. Why was he afraid? Because Saul was a paranoid individual. Okay? He was only interested in his own self-preservation. It was all about him. It was all about him staying as king. Samuel was indeed in fear for his life. Because if Saul found out that he was going to go and anoint the next king of Israel, you think Saul was going to let that happen? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. So God gave him some guidance. The Lord graciously and lovingly gives him guidance. And he says, just go and sacrifice. Go and have sacrificial worship. Okay? That's what he's saying here. Verse 3. And call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do, and thou shalt anoint me unto me him whom I name unto thee. So basically, he's saying, okay, Samuel, go to Bethlehem, and what when you get there, say, bring Jesse, have Jesse come along, and call Jesse to the sacrifice, because it's one of his sons that you will anoint to be next king. I find it interesting. God could have said to Samuel, Samuel, I want you to go to Bethlehem. I want you to go to the house of Jesse, and I want you to anoint his youngest son, David, to be king over Israel. He could have said that. But God didn't say that. Right? He didn't say that. Why didn't he say that? Because God wants us to have faith. And he wanted Samuel to have faith. Wanted him to go. Lesson number 2, God doesn't always give us the full picture or plan. He doesn't always give us the full picture or plan. Just like he didn't give Samuel the full picture or plan. Why? Because he wants us to have faith and dependence on him. Amen. Now, just a side note, but a wonderful truth I saw in verse 3. Wonderful truth. Why Bethlehem? Why Jesse? Why Bethlehem and why Jesse? Bethlehem was seemingly a small little place. Why Bethlehem? Why Jesse? Because remember, who was Jesse's father? Obed. And who was Obed's parents? Ruth and Boaz. So God was working out a plan, the plan of salvation, because David, the line of David is going, Jesus is going to come out of the line of David. So God was working out his plan of salvation even back in this time. Isn't that amazing? It was God's wonderful plan of salvation being put together. Verse 4. And Samuel did that which the Lord spake, and came to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming, and said, Comest thou peaceably? And he said, Peaceably I come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves, and come with me to the sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons, and called them to the sacrifice. Samuel obeyed the word of the Lord and did exactly as he was told in verse 4. Exactly as he was told. Lesson number 3 this morning is God wants our complete obedience. Just like Samuel. He wants our complete obedience. You say, well, what am I supposed to obey? God has given us commandments all throughout Scripture. All throughout Scripture. We have them. God doesn't speak to us in audible voice. I've said that here before. But he has given us his word, and he gives us commandments in his word, and we're to follow them. And we have the exact commandments from God in his word, and we are to follow them. So this goes for all of us. This goes for children. This goes for adults. We have been given commandments, and we need to follow them like we ought to. So apparently, though, Bethlehem must not have been on the circuit for Samuel a lot, because he was coming there and they were scared. Why were they scared? Well, I think the judges would sometimes judge a town, or they would also. Samuel was known to be a mighty man. He look it back at chapter 15, verse 33. Okay, chapter 15, verse 33. Of course. What had happened here is King Saul had disobeyed, and he didn't kill Agag, the king, and so Samuel now is coming, and he's like, I'm going to take care of this. And first, look what happened in verse 32. Let's look at verse 32. Then said Samuel, Bring ye hither to me Agag, the king of the Amalekites. And Agag came unto him delicately. He was a little scared too, apparently. And Agag said, Surely the bitterness of death is past. And Samuel said, As thy sword hath made women childless, so shall thy mother be childless among women. And Samuel hewed Agag in pieces before the Lord. I don't know about you, but I wouldn't want to be hewed in pieces. Or I wouldn't want to see somebody be hewed in pieces. Okay? But he hewed Agag in pieces. Something that Saul should have done previously, but Samuel came in and he made a statement and said, Agag, your line's over. Cut him up. Pretty disgusting, pretty gross, okay? But it happened. It's Bible, okay? He cut him up. The people were scared. They had just heard about this. And now he's coming to Bethlehem. What? Could you imagine what you might be thinking? Like, the guy who just cut a guy up in pieces is coming to your town? Did we do something wrong? What did we do? Okay, they're scared. They feared this judgment that might be coming upon them. But he reassured them and said, He comes peaceably. He comes in peace. Let's look at verse 6. And it came to pass, when they were come, that he looked on Eliab and said, Surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said unto Samuel, Look not on his countenance, or on his height, or his stature, because I refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, but for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Amen. Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel, and he said, Neither hath the Lord chosen this. Then Jesse made Shammah to pass by and said, Neither hath the Lord chosen this. And again, Jesse made 7 of his sons to pass before Samuel, and Samuel said unto Jesse, The Lord hath not chosen these. God is trying to teach Samuel a lesson, as well as he's trying to teach us a lesson here. And that is that he's not interested in age, he's not interested in credentials, he's not interested in stature, he's not interested in outward appearance. He is looking at our hearts. That's what he's interested in. Our hearts. What kind of heart do you have for God? And I'm thankful for a church like Utica. I really am. We've been in churches all over the country, and this church is unique. It's unique. It really is. When people say there's a great spirit here, there really is a great spirit here. I caught that right off the bat when we first started coming. You have a good spirit here. And I believe it's that way because you guys look at the hearts of individuals. Don't ever lose that. Don't ever look at the look at the outward appearance of individuals. Look at their hearts. Look at their hearts. That's the proper spirit that God wants us to have. It's not about whether you come in looking all fancied up with a suit and tie, and it's not about whether you come in with a skirt or a dress. It's not about whether you come in pants. None of that matters to God. It's about your heart. Amen. I hope you believe that. Amen. It's about your heart. God is interested in the heart of individuals. And I believe that if Jesus were to come back and that he were to come back and sit in the churches around this country, he would be disappointed.
Amen.
He would be disappointed because there's not a lot of churches like this. And he would be disappointed because people would be looking because he'd be looking at people who cared more about outer appearance than inward, than their heart. He would be very disappointed. He would be disappointed that people have turned preferences into absolutes. He would be disappointed that people care more about appearances than the heart. Lesson number 4. God is interested in those with a heart for him.
Amen.
He was interested in David. He was seeking out David. He knew exactly who he wanted, and he wanted David because David had a heart for him. Verse 11. And Samuel said unto Jesse, "Are here all thy children?" He's like, this can't be all your children, because God said I was supposed to come and I was supposed to anoint one of your sons, and you brought 7 sons, but God never said this is the son I'm supposed to anoint. So what are we doing? You must have another child or another son. And he said, "There remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep." Remember that he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, "Send and fetch him. For we will not sit down till he come hither." That probably lit a fire under some of these guys. They're hungry. After the sacrifice, they're going to eat. And now we're not going to sit down and eat until we get David here? That's like telling us we're not going to go down and eat later on. We're just going to stay up here for a while, you know, until you guys come up here and make decisions. You know, all of a sudden all these decisions will be made, you know. So David is saying here, Samuel's saying, go get David. We're not going to sit down and eat until I see David. So finally, we are getting to David in the story. Finally. He was the youngest. He was the youngest. Seemingly insignificant. He was probably the smallest, being that he was the youngest. Okay? Commentators say that he was probably... let's keep reading verse 11. Verse 12. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, and withal of beautiful countenance, and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, "Arise, anoint him, for this is he." So, commentators say that he probably had red hair. That's what ruddy meant. Could have been red hair, with beautiful eyes, and probably just a handsome young man. Young teenage boy. Okay? And when Samuel sees him, God says, "This is him. This is the guy. This is the young man that I want you to anoint." Samuel obeyed. Right? God said, do it. I'm going to do it. This doesn't really make sense. Why do you want me to anoint this young man? But okay, God, there was the first son, what was his name? The first son was Eliab. Eliab seemed like the king. Like he should have been, he was kingly looking maybe, and that wasn't the guy. He saw David, and God said, this is the man whom I have chosen. Anoint him with oil. Why? Because he was a man with the heart that God was looking for. Okay, he was a man with a heart that God was looking for. So some principles to learn from David, just in this passage, is one, that he was faithful in the field. He was faithful. In verse 11 it says, "He keepeth the sheep." He was faithful in the field. All the other family members were there. Dad and the sons were all there. And David was faithful doing his job in the field. However mundane or boring it was, he was faithful doing what God had him do. And we need to be like that. We need to be faithful doing the things that God has called us to do. He was faithful with little. Okay, he was a shepherd boy. But coming in the near future, he's going to be faithful of much. He's going to be given much to be faithful of. So he was also faithful when forgotten. I like to think maybe that he was forgotten. You know, he's just in the field, and his dad's like, all right, sons, I mean, David, just keep doing your thing, you know. I'm going to take my other sons who are older, who you know, take them to the sacrifice, and David, you can just keep staying there. Well, he was faithful when forgotten. And he also, I believe he was resting in his future. In verse 19, after Samuel had anointed him, in verse 19 it says, wherefore Saul sent messengers unto Jesse and said, send me David thy son, which is with the sheep, because he was going to play the harp for him. Okay, but he was faithful. He went right back to being a shepherd, right? He didn't go touting around. Hey guys, I was anointed. I mean, as a little brother, wouldn't you want to do that to your big brothers? I mean, the Jameson boys, which one's older, AJ?
Nick looks older.
So I bet you know, growing up, Nick would probably, you know, something was given to Nick and AJ didn't have it. I mean, I'm sure you guys probably put it in each other's faces, right, at times? Well, David didn't seem to do this. David went right back to work. He didn't say, okay, Dad, listen, I've been anointed here. I don't have to go back and work with sheep. No. He went right back to working. He went right back to doing what he was supposed to be doing. Lesson number 5 is we should be people with a desire to have a heart for God. Okay, it's a little different than lesson 4, but we should be people with a desire to have a heart for God. So how about you? How about you this morning? Think about this. How about you this morning? What lesson do we need to learn today? I'll tell you, the lessons that I learned today are all the ones I just gave to you today. No matter what failures come my way, I need to get back up and do the job that God has given me. And you need to do the same. God doesn't always give me the full picture. Doesn't always give you the full picture. Right? And also, God wants our complete obedience. He wants my complete obedience to Scripture, what He's given us in Scripture. God is interested in a heart, in those with a heart for Him. He's interested, if I have a heart for Him, He's interested in me. Also, we should be a people with a desire to have a heart for God. So I know we all lead busy lives, right? We all have busy lives. This world keeps us very, very busy with jobs and you know, sporting events, and if you have kids, sporting events, and you got, you know, we just had the wax competition, and you guys are preparing for all that, and it's all very busy, and it can consume us, all this stuff that's going on in our lives. But do we have a heart for God? That's what should consume us, is a heart for God. Do you have a heart? Do we have a heart that God wants to use today? Think about that. Or is your heart so filthy that God can't use you? He doesn't want to use you. David was a lowly shepherd boy that God raised up to be king. Why? Because he had a heart for God. He had a heart for God. He was a man after God's own heart. You can't have a heart for God until you give your heart to God, though. Yes. Right? You can't have a heart for God until you give your heart to God. So are you a believer today? Have you trusted Christ as your personal Savior? Have you put your faith and trust in the finished work of Christ? Today is the day. Don't wait. Why wait? Believe on Jesus today. The Bible makes it so simple and clear. Jesus came as a baby, born in a manger, which is significant. Humbled himself, became a man, was born. He lived a sinless life for 33 and a half years. He was then tortured, beaten, put on a cross, died for us because of our sin. We couldn't pay that sin. That we couldn't pay it, but he paid that sin debt for us so we could have eternal life. And all we have to do is believe. Believe what? Believe that he came, he died for our sins, he rose again, proving he was God. And all we have to do is believe it. That's all we have to do. It's simple. But we can't have a heart for God until we have given our heart to God. So this morning, I'm not sure where you're at and what spoke to you the most, but I know God spoke to me in these lessons.
Amen.
And hopefully God spoke to you And if you're here this morning, you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, then do it. Do it today. Why wait? Let's pray. Dear Father, Lord, thank you so much for your goodness to us. Thank you so much for David and his heart for you. Lord, help me. Help me to have a heart for you. Lord, I desire to be used by you. I'm sure many people in here desire to be used by you. And Lord, help us to have a heart for you. Lord, help us not to look at the outward appearance of man and look at the inward heart of man, just like you do with us. I'm thankful that you don't look at my outward appearance, but you look at my heart. And Lord, I know my heart's not always right. And Lord, help me to get my heart right at all times and stay right. And Lord, I pray that people here would make sure their hearts are right at all times, so God could be using them and wanting to use them. And I'm so thankful for a guy like David, a young shepherd boy that God saw fit to use because he had a heart for him. So Lord, I pray that you just use this time, use this message to speak to hearts all week long. And Lord, thank you so much for your goodness and your grace and your love. If there's anybody here today, Lord, that hasn't put their faith and trust in you, Lord, I pray that they would not wait another second. Lord, I pray that they would just simply put their faith and trust in you and what you've done for them today. We ask these things in Jesus' name.